changing, you cannot deny. The day of the traveller is over. There's nowhere to go and there's nowhere to bide. So farewell to the life of the rover. Goodbye to the tent and the old caravan, to the tinker, the gypsy, the travelling man, and goodbye to the 30-foot trailer. Farewell to the cant and the travelling tongue, farewell to the Romany talking, the buying and selling, the old fortune telling, the knock on the door and the hawking. Goodbye to the tent and the old caravan, to the tinker, the gypsy, the travelling man, and goodbye to the 30-foot trailer. Farewell to the blossom, the besoms of bloom, farewell to the creels and the basket. The folks of today would far sooner pay for a thing that's been made out of plastic. Goodbye to the tent and the old caravan, to the tinker, the gypsy, the travelling man, and goodbye to the 30-foot trailer. The old ways are passing and soon they'll be gone, for progress is aye a big factor. It's sent to afflict us, and when they evict us, they'll tow us away with the tractor. Goodbye to the tent and the old caravan, to the tinker, the gypsy, the travelling man, and goodbye to the 30-foot trailer. Farewell to the pony, the cob and the mare, the reins and the harness are idle. You don't need a strap when you're breaking up scrap, so farewell to the bit and the bridle. Goodbye to the tent and the old caravan, the tinker, the gypsy, the travelling man, and goodbye to the 30-foot trailer. Farewell to the fields where we've sweated and toiled, a-pulling and hauling and lifting. They'll soon have machines and the travelling queens, and their menfolk can better be shifting. Goodbye to the tent and the old caravan, to the tinker, the gypsy, the travelling man, and goodbye to the 30-foot trailer. You've got to move fast to keep up with the times, for these days the man cannot bander. There's a boiler to say you must be on your way, and another to say you can't wander. Goodbye to the tent and the old caravan, to the tinker, the gypsy, the travelling man, and goodbye to the 30-foot trailer. So goodbye to the tent and the old caravan, to the tinker, the gypsy, the travelling man, and goodbye to the 30-foot trailer.
You are tuned to 106.1 FM, WSCA LP Portsmouth. We are Portsmouth Community Radio. Please note that the views expressed on this program are those of the individuals who speak them, and not necessarily of Portsmouth Community Radio, its Board of Trustees, members, volunteers, or underwriters. Hey folks, it's time for Local Folk here on Portsmouth Community Radio. I'm your host, Steve Kerrigan, and I'm bringing to you the people that make folk culture happen. Now, stay tuned for the music and stories of my guests. my guest, who is here to share with you a little bit of his personal history and musical self. And just by listening, you, my listeners, are participating in local folk culture, and I hope you continue to do so by getting out there and maybe seeing something live or buying a new CD or anything else you feel inspired to do. Listen, we need to move on here, and quickly. Tonight's guest is an Irishman, or a man who was born in Ireland, came over here, and he's been in the U.S. for some time, and I knew him first as the owner of Jack Quigley's Pub, which used to be right here in downtown Portsmouth. And I'd pop in every so often to pepper the predominantly tune-driven session at the time with a song or two. And he's opened 5 Irish pubs. And a music session seems to be part of his secret to success, a traditional music session. And that includes singing and tunes. And for me, just being a provider of an environment in which the tradition can thrive is enough for me to want him to be here. And that is a reason why I originally invited him on, but it's certainly not the only one. He's also a powerful and soulful singer and a great musician to boot. And he and Eamon Coyne gig together and also run a session at another of his, one of the pubs that he started, Rory O'Connor's. He has just finished recording a new album down at Jim Prendergast's Mill Pond Music Studio. And not only that, I was invited to participate in the harmony singing on the album. And before anyone starts saying payola or anything like that, I should express that I received no monetary rewards from the success of this album. I am just proud to be a part of it, very proud, and excited to provide a vehicle in which to premiere some of the tracks. If you haven't guessed already, my guest tonight is Tony Giblin. And Tony, welcome to the show.
Steve, thank you very much. Oh.
Thank you very much. You're welcome. You're welcome very much. I'm in a quandary because after having been invited and involved on the album, all I want to do is talk about this awesome album, but that really wouldn't be what local folk is about. You know, what I'm always trying to do is to talk to people about how you got interested in the music and what your influences were and how you sort of came to the music. And you know what? I just realized before we can even get to that, I actually missed one important thing, and that is that right now it's raining out.
It most certainly is.
Okay, this is
it must
my
be weather time.
This is my weather report. Light showers and rain. It's 52 degrees, and it looks like it's going to rain, and tonight it's going to rain, all right? And chance of precipitation is rainy, all right? It's about, you're going to get rain, and then Tuesday it's a chance of showers, all right? Cloudy, high near 60, north wind between 11 and 60. Chance of precipitation is 50%, so 50% chance of rain, new fall amounts of less than a tenth of an inch, and Tuesday night a chance of showers, cloudy with low around 50. Chance of precipitation is 40%, new rainfall amounts, rain. Okay, looks like it's going to be rainy and probably continue to be so. So if you need more than that, I would suggest AccuWeather.com or the next program called Under the Radar. We'll probably give you a more specific message about that. I'm sorry I couldn't do more than that. But I need to talk to Tony about what's going on. So let's talk about what's going on. You just finished an awesome album. The first track that's on it is the one that we listened to before the program even started. It was called 30-Foot Trailer.
Correct.
And that was written by who?
Ewan McCall.
Ewan McCall. And he was from where?
Ewan McCall was from Scotland and has been known to write many songs about the traveling people.
About the traveling people. Okay. And what is about that song that was appealing to you?
I liked the beat of it. I liked the rhythm of it. That song first came out in the 60s. So in many ways, I suppose, when I hear that song, it reminds me of when I was younger. I was born in 1956. So, you know, I was 10 or 12, I think, when I first started to hear that song played. It's got a great beat to it. It's got great harmony to it. And I really liked it.
So this is a song that you heard growing up then?
That's correct.
And where were you born in Ireland?
I was born in Galway.
You were born in Galway. And where in Ireland is that exactly?
Galway is on the west coast. If anybody knows where Dublin is, which is the capital city, mm-hmm. it is directly in a straight line. You go west for 133 miles and you end up in Galway.
And you end up in Galway Bay?
Galway Bay. Well, Galway is the capital. There are four provinces in Connacht. Let me start that. You've got Ulster, Munster, Leinster and Connacht. Connacht has five counties in it, of which Galway is the biggest. Galway City would be the biggest town. It's got a population of approximately 80,000 people at this point in time. But it is a seaside town and a major college town also.
A major college town?
Yes, there's about 30,000 full-time students in Galway all year round.
Is that out of the 80,000 that live there?
No, that would be extra.
So that's a big, it's a big place then.
I think it's the third at this point, the third biggest city in Ireland.
Okay. And your parents were four-leaf clover farming leprechauns?
It's pretty close, actually very, very close. But my parents had a hotel in the centre of Galway. And many of the Irish groups, like Moving Hearts and Planxty, stayed there when they would be gigging in Galway. And I've got five brothers and a sister. And up on the second floor, there was a room which was called the sitting room. And the sitting room had one of these, like a half door with a window on top, and it was solid down on the bottom. So the groups would go in and they'd pull the blind down, and they'd practice in there for 2 or 3 hours. And my siblings and I would sit on the floor outside the door with our legs crossed and listen to Christy Moore and Donal Lunny and all of these guys practicing. And I think that's where I ended up getting the real love for the music.
Wow. All right. So your folks had a hotel that these guys stayed at.
That's correct.
And it wasn't like you picked up an old album or something like that. I mean, you may have done that as well, but they were practicing and playing right there in your place.
Yeah, it definitely opened our eyes to, let's say, quality music.
Quality music. Well, tell me a little something. Other people that have come on the show have sort of expressed the influence that a band like Planxty would have had on, or definitely had, on the Irish, the folk revival, which included Irish music. Before Planxty came along, what was going on and how were these people changing things?
Well, I think, you know, if you were to go back to the 30s, 40s and 50s, probably Count John McCormack would have been the major influence on Irish music and, you know, singing songs such as I'll Take You Home Again, Kathleen. And then in the 60s into the 70s, the Clancy brothers came along and moved Irish music into what we would call the ballad era. Then around the end of the 60s, Planxty formed. And they were really only together the first time for about 5 years, but they put three fabulous albums together. And then each of them broke up, and in their own way, whether it be Christy Moore heading out doing solo, whether it be Andy Irvine forming Patrick Street, whether it be Donal Lunny forming the Bothy Band, or Liam O'Flynn giving Illinpipe shows and lessons, they were really responsible for moving Irish music really to where it is now.
And you were there listening to them. Where were they performing? Close by, or
yeah. There was a huge, well, but for Galway, I'm sorry, for Galway. This was a big venue. It was called the Talk of the Town Ballroom. Maybe it could hold 2,500 people standing, not sitting. So people would be up dancing and stuff to them. But that was maybe a 10-minute walk from where we were based. So it was an ideal spot for them, but it was an ideal spot for my brothers and my sister and I as well.
Well, certainly. Well, when they were dancing, was it were they dancing traditional Irish music, or were they just dancing?
A number of those, after Planxty broke up, a number of them, in fact, most of them formed a group called Moving Hearts, which included Davy Spillan, again, on pipes, and Mick Hanley played the guitar and wrote stuff. But there was a lot of, what was huge in that era was Celtic rock, a group called Horselips, Moving Hearts, Steel Eye Span type stuff.
Yes.
That, you know, taking old, I suppose, former singing ballads, putting them behind good rock tunes. And, you know, people really, younger people especially, younger people are the life of music. And they brought young people back into Irish music with this Celtic rock.
I want to play something from your album and then talk about, you know, how this music transforms itself over time and over the years. Now, I know Horse Lips. I mean, they're like a hard, almost like a hardcore rock band. They sound like it anyways to me.
Celtic rock.
Celtic rock.
Celtic rock. That's what it was called. So it was taking old Celtic tunes and putting them to a rock beat.
I love the idea.
Yeah.
In fact, I would like to do that now, but I'm a little bit too old to be a rock star. How about yourself?
I'm a lot too old. But, you know, just to give you an idea, Horse Lips, their lead guitar player was a gentleman by the name of Declan Sinnott. Well, Declan Sinnott is Christy Moore's partner now. And I mean, literally, he plays guitar with Christy everywhere he goes. There's just the two of them. So, you know, you can make that jump. Back and over from Celtic rock to you know, Christy Moore ballady type music and that is it.
So we can go all over the place.
Absolutely.
With this stuff, and
it's
a perfectly fine thing
it's
to do and acceptable.
Fine.
I want to play this Past
the Point of Rescue. It was written by Mick Handley, who was one of the founding members of this group, Moving Hearts.
He's one of the founding members of this group, Moving Hearts, who you say was originally a Celtic rock band?
They did Celtic rock. They also did, I mean, they were the first guys. They had two pipers playing screaming pipes.
They took pipes that sound the way that they do and then they made them scream on top of it?
We're talking about Uilleann pipes now. We're not talking about bagpipes.
Oh, okay. Phew. Thank goodness. Well, this is your rendition of Past the Point of Rescue. And what is this about?
Well, I guess it says... pretty much as the words say, you know, it's unrequited love.
Unrequited love, which is a common theme in Irish music sometimes.
There's a lot of broken hearts out there.
There's a lot of broken hearts out there. All right, Past the Point of Rescue.
Last night I dreamed you were back again, larger than life again, holding me tight again, placing those same kisses on my brow, sweeter than ever now. Lord, I remember how, couldn't get enough of kissing. Do you know how much you're missing? No, you don't, but I do. Days like a slow train trickle by. Even the words that I write refuse to fly. All that I can hear is your song haunting me. Can't get the melody out of my head, you see. Distractions I've been using. Do you know how much you're losing? No, you don't, but I do. And I do, and I wonder if I'm past the point of rescue. And there's no word from you at all, the best that you can do. Didn't mean to push or shove you. Do you know how much I love you? No, you don't, but I do. I swore I'd never fall like this again. Fools like me never win. I'm back on my knees again. Can't close the door on the likelihood. Things could be just as good. I always believed they would. Gotta let your love invite me. Baby, do you think I might be? No, you don't, but I do. And I do, and I wonder if I'm past the point of rescue. And there's no word from you at all, the best that you can do. Didn't mean to push or shove you. Do you know how much I love you? No, you don't, but I do. And I do, and I wonder if I'm past the point of rescue. And there's no word from you at all, the best that you can do. Didn't mean to push or shove you. Do you know how much I love you? No, you don't, but I do.
Oh, no, you don't, but I do. Oh, no, you don't, but I do.
That is great. That was Past the Point of Rescue. And that was Tony Giblin doing that song. And this is an album that's so fresh that I don't even know if there's a name for it. Do you have a name for it?
No, I don't have a name for it yet.
Okay, so we're taking suggestions. We're going to have... So we don't even have a name for it. It's hot off the press. I think literally a few hours ago is when it was finished being mixed. Is that correct?
Yeah, I picked it up from Jim Prendergast this afternoon about 3:30, quarter to 4.
Okay, and Jim Prendergast has a studio here in town called Mill Pond Music Studios. He came down from Nashville, and one of the things that he thought was so great about this area was the traditional music that was going on that was different than what was going on certainly in Nashville. And I want to talk to you, Tony, a little bit about some of your influences right here. I'm going to just try to play something... a little bit for just a moment here, and let's see if it can come up here. We're gonna listen to this for just a moment.
And the summer's come at last, and the birds they are singing the trees.
Now, what's going on with this song?
This is a group called the Johnstons.
The Johnstons.
And
okay.
The Johnstons were, they came out with a couple of albums in around 1967, 1968. In fact, a well-known Irish composer and a fabulous entertainer by the name of Paul Brady was part of this group. And they were known for their four-part harmony. And it hadn't been done in Ireland up until this time.
Well, I have to say that it really sounds like the 60s to me.
Yes, absolutely. It's got that real Peter, Paul and Mary type vibe to it.
Big time has that Peter, Paul and Mary type vibe to it, which makes me think that that even though, you know, we're all influenced by folk music, and let's just talk about folk music and the different places where it comes from. I mean, you have, I had on last week Jeff Warner, whose parents went off into the, you know, all over the place trying to find the farmer or the, whoever it was, out in the middle of nowhere doing something like that. And that was sort of source folk music that's at the Smithsonian now. But this is folk music too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it has a flavor to it that is, to me, sounds like Peter, Paul, and Mary, which to me sounds, you know, as somebody who was born in 1974, sounds produced, sounds like a produced sound that's going on. So to me, there's a slight distinction between that and whatever they recorded on field recording off and, you know, then. I mean, so I guess my point is that the folk music tends to take on a different flavor at times. Is that fair enough to say?
Yeah, you know, I think if you were to look at Ireland back in that time period, you had the Clancy brothers, who were basically based here in the US. And so therefore, there was always room in Ireland for homegrown groups. And you know, of course, you don't want to, you know, do the same type of music the Clancy brothers are doing, because then it's a kind of copy me,
right,
type thing.
Yep.
So nobody was really doing the harmony, because if you think of the kind of Clancy brother era, it was three to four guys belting everything out in force and going for power and that. Whereas there's a lot more subtlety to this,
mm-hmm.
And the, you know, kind of the harmony pulling various harmonies out.
Pulling various harmonies out, yeah. And, you know, your album has harmonies on it, I know, because I was, you know.
Absolutely, I was thrilled to have you on it.
CDs on there, you know. And it sounds really, I really love the sound of it. I can't wait to play some of it. But one of the songs is pretty scathing about the church and this and that. And yet, where did you learn harmonies?
In the church.
In the church.
Yeah, absolutely.
It wasn't putting your ear to Planksty's door and listening to that?
Well, when I was, say, when I was 7 or 8, I was a boy soprano, and then I became a baritone, and, you know, so basically it was church. I mean, my fondest memories to this day are at 6:30 in the morning, on Christmas morning, going off to Mass with my dad driving. One brother in the front, two brothers and a sister in the back, and we're doing a Deste Fidelis in four-part harmony.
So it was your family, too. I mean, they were encouraging.
Absolutely, absolutely. My mother played the piano accordion. My father sang. My sister is a piano teacher. My aunt is a piano teacher. My grandmother was a piano teacher. It was ingrained. We always joke about this, that my mother would rather have a musician in the family than a doctor. I mean, that's just
that's amazing.
That's the way she was built.
I don't know if my mother would have preferred that or not, although none of us are doctors. I need to play another example of a different type of harmony that you may have been listening to at the time, and this is Voice Squad.
These guys are amazing. I came across these guys around 1977. They played in Galway, and my family and I went out there, and I think my jaw dropped and hit the ground the first time that I heard these guys sing together.
Okay, well, let's listen to this for a moment.
I placed my affection on a maid that was young, she being young and tender, her way small and slender. Kind nature had formed her for my overthrow. On the banks of the Ban, where I first beheld her, she appeared like fair Juno or a Grecian queen. Her eyes shone like diamonds, her hair softly twining.
These guys are unbelievable.
Yeah, they are. Absolutely.
You know what's interesting is that these guys are all, first of all, there's no music behind it to make it sound produced. The other thing is that here's the secret, everyone. We're playing that from YouTube, and I'm watching a video of these guys right now, and they're sitting around a table with pints of beer.
They're being very social. Yes, they are.
They're being very social, and yet they're singing like this.
Now, again, these three gentlemen, They sang for years in a choir setup, and you can pick that. I mean, they are, there's a tenor, there's a baritone, you know, they are trained singers, but absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous singing.
Now, this wasn't something that was heard around the world. I mean, I don't know about Voice Squad.
They're big in Europe, they're big in Germany, they're big in England. They're, you know, three Irish guys who were based in Dublin. You know, huge on the Irish circuit, the Irish festival circuit, and that. I mean, anybody who, you know, would be based in Ireland and would know anything of Irish music would know of the Voice Squad.
I want to listen to about 2 more seconds of these guys.
Sure.
Great. Because I really enjoy it.
And absence from home, had I all the money that's in the West Indies, or had I the gold of the African shore, I would spend it on pearls and on you, my brown girl. For there's no other love on this earth I adore.
You are tuned in to 106.1 FM WSCA LP Portsmouth. We are Portsmouth Community Radio. You are listening to the program Local Folk, and I am your host, Steve Carrigan. Please note that the views expressed on the program are those of the individuals who speak them and not necessarily of Portsmouth Community Radio, its Board of Trustees, members, volunteers, or underwriters. Speaking of which, programming on Portsmouth Community Radio is made possible by you, our members, and by the Seacoast Growers Association, presenting farmers markets in the Seacoast region for 32 years, with local produce, meats, prepared foods, garden plants, and handcrafted goods. SeacoastGrowers.org. All right, we're here on Local Folk, and I'm here with Tony Giblin, and he has a CD that came just off the press, and he was sharing with us some of these great harmony groups that he listened to and heard as a kid. Voice Squad was something that we just heard, and I'd like to hear something off of his CD, because we were talking about, just a little while ago, talking about the spirit of of renewal in music. We were talking about how music changes and how folk music changes, and we didn't actually say that, but it does change. We heard something that sounded very 60s, then we had something that sounded very sort of collegiate almost, even though they were sitting around a pub.
Absolutely.
And now I'd like to take those two influences, and I'd like to play something that's off your new CD, which sounds, it's folk, but it has a modern feel to it. And tell me a little bit about that. We're going to play a little bit of The Valley of Strathmore, it's called.
The Valley of Strathmore, it's a Scottish song. But, I'm a great believer that music in general is a living thing. So if I come across a song and I like it and I play it a little bit and then I say, I think I might change it, I feel totally free to change it. I don't feel locked in to any type of format. And so that's kind of my view on music in general. I mean, it doesn't really matter to me what the type of music is, but I think it has to be breathing, it has to be living. And I think by putting a little more modern twist to certain things, you can entice more people, especially younger people, to listen to it.
Now, I will say one thing about this album is it's not modern because it has so many synthesizers on it, and it's
correct.
Not modern because for some of the reasons that we might think of things as modernity, but why don't we give it a listen and we can let our listeners decide why it's modern. This is The Valley of Strathmore, one of my favorites.
By a clear and a winding stream in the valley of Strathmore, where my love and I have been, where we'll wander nevermore. For if time was a thing man could buy, all the money that I have in store, I would give for one day by her side in the valley of Strathmore. From the glen of the golden and the green, I left for a land far away, where sadness has never been seen. I enjoy only cause the day's pay, for if time was a thing man could buy, all the money that I have in store, I would give for one day by her side in the valley of Strathmore. Strathmore, there's a long working day for the man with his hands on the plough, but it's a work I'd be willing to do. If at night I could lie next to you. For if time was a thing man could buy, all the money that I have in store, I would give for one day by her side in the valley of Strathmore. As I take a long draught from my glass, I am drinking alone here again, but I try not to think of my lass, for the old days will ne'er come again. For if time was a thing man could buy, all the money that I have in store, I would give for one day by her side in the valley of Strathmore. For if time was a thing man could buy, all the money that I have in store, I would give for one day by her side in the valley of Strathmore.
That was beautiful.
And for those who didn't know it, that was Steve on the high harmony there.
And for those of you who were listening, I was listening myself, and I have to say that one of the things that makes it modern is the arrangement and the recording quality of the whole thing and your interpretation of the way that the music came out, but it also retains that intimacy to it. It's a beautiful song. You know, I wanted to talk about the pubs that you've opened and this and that, but I just, after listening to that, and if you listen, you know, if time were a thing I could buy. I just want to talk about this CD and why you made it.
Basically the reason I made the CD, it's something that I have talked about for 20 plus years. I am 56 years of age. I know people don't talk about their age, but it's been on my bucket list. It's on the top of my bucket list, and it's a legacy project for me. It's something where I said, you know, if I was to walk out of here tomorrow and have a heart attack or something, and things weren't the way that they are right now, what would I want to leave after? What would I want people to know about me? And, you know, I am the first of my family to ever come here. So at some point in time, you're going to have children and great-grandchildren and people like that saying, you know, what was that guy like? And so I wanted to leave a little something that says, hey, this guy sang a song every now and then. And so it's really that. I mean, I have no desire for it beyond that. It's really something for my son.
So it's something that you say was on your bucket list, and it was for your son. And so you want to let, you know, so you take a song like that, and I'm sure it's a quite literal translation. Hey, if I could spend more time,
yeah,
you know, if I could trade it in, I would.
It is in kind of one sense, but I you know, in another sense, you know, we can read too much into every single thing. You know, it's more of, look, it's a nice song, it's got a beautiful harmony, and it's something that I'm really, really proud of doing.
It gets me going anyway, so we better listen to a little bit at least of something else that I think is great that I know that you weren't exactly planning on listening to, but it's kind of in contrast to something like that. It's called The Humors of Whiskey. Mind if I just play a tiny
Absolutely.
Bit of that? All right, I
Work
have to
away.
Play a little bit of it. This is, as you'll see, as we call it, the Crather. Where did you hear this at first?
I heard this in the west of Ireland first, and then after, you know, doing a little bit of research on it, I heard the Silly Wizard version of it, and it was a song that I really, really liked.
Okay, here we go. I just want to play. I may not go through the whole thing because we,
sure,
you know, we're going to run out of time, but I just want you guys to hear this. This is great. The humor is over.
Let your quacks and newspapers be cutting their capers, but curing the vapor, the scratching the gout. But their medical potions, their serums and lotions, upholding their notions, they're mighty put out. Who can tell the true physic from all that's pathetic and pitched to the devil, cram, colic and spleen? You'll know it, I think, if you take a big drink with your mouth to the brink of a jug of poutine. So stick to the crater, the best thing in nature, for sinking your sorrows and raising your joy. Oh, what botheration, no dose in the nation can give consolation like poutine me buys. No liquid cosmetic to lovers athletic or bodies pathetic can give such a bloom as the sweet by the powers in the garden of flowers there gave their own bowers such a darling perfume. And this liquid so rare if you'll willingly share to be taking your hair when it's frizzled and dead. For the sod has the merit to yield a true spirit so strong it'll shake all the hairs from your head. And stick to the crater, the best thing in nature, for sinking your sorrows and raising your joy. Oh, since it's perfection, a doctor's direction can cleanse the complexion like poutine me buys.
Poutine me boys. Hey, question for you. For those Americans out there, poutine is, the crather is, what is that stuff?
In the U.S., it's called moonshine.
Moonshine. The crather and poutine are all about the same thing.
That is correct.
Okay. I think I've been to this thing called Boil Fest, and they handed me something that basically, it tastes like rocket fuel, sort of. Is that...
This stuff will put hairs on your chest, guaranteed.
Guaranteed. Well, speaking of which, you went from being an engineer to being someone who has sort of an entrepreneurial spirit. You've opened over 5 Irish pubs. Tell me about that. What led you to do that?
I came here in 1983 with 2 of my brothers. We were playing music in Boston, New York, and Washington for the summer. And I met my wife my first week here. So I was destined to come back, except we all had to leave to finish college. We all had about a year of college left. And we went back and finished. And I came back and we got married and settled down. And... I'm not really sure.
You're not really sure. So, but did you get sick of being an engineer?
No, I worked as an engineer. I worked for Otis Elevator for 5 years, and they put me through a master's program at the University of Connecticut. And, you know, I was in that corporate treadmill. And, you know, I remember coming home one night and saying to my wife, if I don't try something for myself here, irrespective of how high up that ladder I go, I'm going to regard myself as a failure. I said, I really need to go out, and whether I'm successful or not isn't the thing. It's giving it a shot. And that's the great thing here in the US. It's about people giving it a shot. And, you know, sometimes you're lucky and things go well, or sometimes it isn't luck. It isn't luck. A lot of it's good planning. But sometimes things go well and sometimes things don't for any number of reasons. But I opened my first pub, Paddy Burke's, in 1991. It was down by the Boston Garden. And my brother and I and another great musician, Tommy Courtney, we were the band, and we were up on the 3rd floor. And I know there's a lot of people in the Portsmouth, Newburyport, North Mass area who, you know us from there, because you would come in during the Celtics games and the Bruins games and that. But after about 5 years, then I left that. We were in Ipswich, Mass. So I bought a property in Beverly on Cabot Street, and I built and developed Kitty O'Shea's over there, and then that went quite well. Then after that, we came up to Newburyport, and we opened Rosie O'Shea's on State Street, where the Port Tavern is now. And after that, we came to Portsmouth. We opened Jack Quigley's on State Street. And then for some reason or other, we always joke about this. You know, you go away on these holidays, and you go to Florida, or you take a cruise or whatever it is, and you say to yourself, oh, wow, palm trees and sandy beaches. I can really do this. So we up and we moved to Naples, Florida for 5 years, and we did it. And then it just, you know, there wasn't enough action down there, I suppose, for the want of something else to say, and we ended up coming back.
Well, it sounds like you like the action. One of the tracks on your new CD is called "Trip to Jerusalem," and that's about travelers, isn't it?
You know, in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and I'm sure the States was exactly the same way. In Ireland, people would just throw a rucksack and sleeping bag on their back, put their thumb out, and head off across Europe. And it's something that I did myself in 76. I hitchhiked through Belgium and Holland and Germany and Austria and Switzerland and that. And, you know, you just go out and you sleep in youth hostels and, you know, do the stuff that young people do. And this is a song written by a man from Galway, Joe Dolan, about hitchhiking across Europe and ending up in Israel. And it's called "The Trip to Jerusalem."
Let's listen to that. "Trip to Jerusalem." This is Local Folk, and I'm your host, Steve Carrigan, and we're with Tony Giblin here, and we're about to listen to a track from his new album, "Trip to Jerusalem."
Stranger here from Ireland shore, I've been on the road 6 months or more. Hiking, working, travelling style, I'm a vagabond from Ireland's Isle. My sunburned thumb stuck up in the air, many's the lift from here to there. In cars, buses, vans and trains, the punishing heat and the snow and the rain. Whack full the tittle full the dire o' day, whack full the tittle full the dire o'. Mrs. Dolan, your son, he isn't working. Came from Dublin to Jerusalem town, had a drink or two on the journey down. At a railway station called Gardiner, I missed me train through Garglenhard. 3 days later in Napoli, on a Turkish boat I sailed to sea. Slept in the hot hole down below, travelling tourist class, you know. Whack full the diddle full the dire o' day, whack full the diddle full the dire o'. Mrs. Dolan, your son, he isn't working. The land came into sight, and the customs man gave me a fright. How much money have you got with your jaw? I bluffed and said £50 or so. He said shalom, I said good day. I grabbed me guitar, got fast away. Down to the desert then I went, digging up history and living in a tent. Whack full the diddle full the dire o' day, whack full the diddle full the dire o'. Mrs. Dolan, your son, he isn't working. Was in the Gulf of Aqaba, I met some paddies and we had a fla. Danced through the streets of Eilat town, I sang Sean south of Garryon. I was travelling, I don't know. You pack your gear, get up and go. You leave the crack for another bout, Kadam will do with a pint of stout. Whack full the diddle for the dire o' day, whack full the diddle for the dire o'. Mrs. Dolan, your son, he isn't working. Whack full the diddle full the dire o' day, whack full the diddle full the dire o'. Mrs. Dolan, your son, he isn't working.
"Trip to Jerusalem." Hey, you're listening to Local Folk, and I'm your host, Steve Carrigan, and I'm with Tony Giblin. And I just want to let you know that if you have any questions or comments about this episode or any others, you can contact me at scarrigan, S-C-A-R-R-I-G-A-N, at wscafm.org, or you can go to stephencarrigan.com. There's a tab on stephencarrigan.com for Local Folk. You can go there, and you can listen to and download any of these podcasts past episodes. In fact, a couple of days, this one here with Tony Giblin is going to be posted as well, so you can always go back and re-listen and hear some of these great stories and hear some of this great music that's going on. This album is going to be commercially available in one way or another. It's just that it's a little bit too fresh right now in order to really say, right? We still have to probably come up with some artwork, maybe. And
that, and there's also there's probably a final mix.
The final mix.
Yeah.
So we're going to have maybe some mastering and all kinds of other things going on.
Yep.
But for all intents and purposes, this is the final final mix. And, you know, it has to do with entrepreneurial spirit, and it has to do with making music and making a CD, you know, no matter what, just like you were talking about a few minutes ago, going out and doing what you want to do. And you said trying, but you went out and you were succeeding. And that's a great thing. Is there something that you said planning? Do you think it was your planning, or do you think it was your tenacity, or do you think it was...
I think really a lot of it is people just doing it, because I always say to people, probably the sentence in the English language that I hate the most is, well, if it was that good, surely somebody else would have done it. Well, you know what? A lot of times people just don't do it. They just don't get up or they don't think of it.
Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to listen to another song that you did that is in Gaelic. And although you are from Ireland, you don't necessarily speak Gaelic fluently.
I have Gaelic, but I wouldn't be what's known as a fluent speaker.
Okay.
But this is a track called Annacoon, which is about a town called Annadown and a boating disaster, really, that happened in the early 1900s.
Okay, and this is a song that you described to me as letting it.
My mum sung this. It's a song that I absolutely love, and it's really nice. So let's give it a whirl.
Yeah, let's definitely give it a whirl. Here we are.
Scum trap
troige kire i the crackerin. The bochly ogam chachtan oa a sheen a crocher scotut go kill. The boast of the is a reaming loira nor war on fjall.
Absolutely amazing. How do you pronounce the name of that song one more time?
Anacoon.
Anacoon. I have to say that Tony revealed to me earlier that up until he was 35 years old, he actually had a speech impediment. So, and it was a...
It was a stammer. Absolutely.
And here he is, having created a beautiful album, having sung a song in Gaelic, which he doesn't, you know... even though fluently, has created a 15-song album as a tribute to his family. It's a legacy CD. He's taken all kinds of steps. He's opened over five successful pubs, all of which have had a session, and all of which he's been the singer at the session. And we are basically out of time, so we're going to have to get going. But Tony, you've been an absolutely amazing guest. Thank you very much for being on. We didn't even touch the surface, so I wish that we could. Hey, if anybody wants to go participate in some of this stuff, you can go to Rory O'Connor's Sunday 6 to 9. That's down in Georgetown. The place called the Irish Cottage in Methuen, Thursday 6 to 9. Hugh O'Neill's in Malden, Saturday, I believe.
Saturday, 5:30 to 8:30.
5:30 to 8:30. Or you could just go right down to our session, the press room session, not mine, but my native session. The press room, and that is Fridays 4 to 9. Until next week, this is Stephen Carrigan. Best wishes to you all. Keep listening to local folk.
Of all the money that e'er I've spent, I have spent it in good company, and of all the harm that I've ever done, alas, it was to none but me. And all that I've done for want of wit, to memory now I can't recall. So fill to me the parting glass. Good night and joy be with you all. Oh, if I had money enough to spend, and leisure time to sit a while, there is a fair maid in this town that surely has my heart beguiled. Her rosy cheeks, her ruby lips, I own she has my heart enthralled. So fill to me the parting glass. Good night and joy be with you all. Of all the comrades that e'er I've had, they are sorry for my going away. And of all the sweethearts that e'er I've had, they would wish me one more day to stay. But since it fell into my lot that I should rise and you should not, I'll gently rise and softly call.
good night, and joy be with you all.